The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Let's go the distance by keeping our distance. Nissan, innovation that excites.
All right. New research from the ESRI says that reductions in emissions during the COVID-19 pandemic will be short-lived. It also finds that Irish GDP is expected to decrease by around 13% this year as a result of economic disruption. So how do the economy and tackling climate change marry together? Declan Jordan is UCC's economic lecturer and co-director of the Spatial and Regional Economics Research Centre. OK, maybe you talk us through this report in terms of, will, you know, less planes flying, less, you know, more remote working all mean that our emissions problem is going somewhere towards being resolved?
Hi, Ivan. Well, I suppose what we're seeing is a one-off benefit to the environment, a one-off decline in our level of emissions, because we have, you know, what Leo Varadkar called put the economy into hibernation. And as people stayed in their homes and didn't travel to work, well, that was good for the environment, right? That was good for the level of greenhouse gas emissions that we produce. But as ESRI has pointed out, that's not going to last, because as we emerge again into the economy and start doing things in the same way as we did them before the lockdown, then we'll just start increasing our emissions again. And unless there is a longer-term plan, restructuring, a prioritization of climate action, then we'll just continue to miss our emissions targets. As they pointed out, we're likely to miss our emissions target again this year, and we'll probably miss it in 2030 unless we do something.
Oh, I thought this year our CO2 emissions were to decrease by 9.5%, which would be more than 7% because of the, you know, becalmed activity.
They are, but they're also set to increase again. So if, you know, when the economy picks up again, those emissions are going to rise. So as we go into next year and as we go into the following year, this is not a sustained reduction in our emissions. This is not a reduction in our emissions due to action that we've taken in order to, you know, rebalance our proportion of renewables in our energy mix, to change our dependency on car, and so on. This is simply, you know, we stopped all economic activity, and therefore our emissions came down. So it'll just go up again, and we'll go back onto the same trajectory as we were before.
Okay, even though there may be some new normals, it mightn't be that V-shaped, but time will tell. So therefore, that brings us on to the programme for government. Are the targets set out in it for emissions reduction achievable? And, you know, we heard that it would be the back end of the decade and it wouldn't be linear. What do you think, how realistic is it?
I think they're achievable. They're difficult, but they're achievable. This is politics. They're achievable to the extent that the government delivers on what it says it's going to deliver upon. Right? That's what it comes down to. We can achieve the cut that we need if we're willing to take the actions that are required to achieve those cuts. The fact that they're backloaded, I think, there's a lot been made of that. But, you know, I can't see any other way. Of course they're going to be backloaded. Of course we're going to have to change what we do now, and that's going to have an outcome sometime in the future. We can't suddenly get into the types of cuts of an average of 7% each year. What we have to do is look over a 10-year period and get an average over that period of 7%. But we need to do the things now. I think this current government, what they need to do is do the things now that make it difficult to unwind those policies for the next government that comes in. So, you know, we've got to, as they say, shift away from road infrastructure towards more public transport. We've got to put in safe cycling infrastructure, more pedestrian infrastructure in our cities. We've got to unlock offshore wind, right, by increasing the level of offshore consenting, changing the balance in that. We've got to address the size of the herd. So we've got to address, you know, what we do in farming. And transport. So all of these things have to be done, and the measures taken in this government, which won't produce an outcome for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, but they have to be difficult to unwind, because what we need to avoid is a situation where we you know, try to do things in this in the term of this government, and they just simply get unwound.
But Declan, we know the easiest thing in the world is to come up with a plan, set all these targets. You know, we've had so many climate action plans. Do you think there's enough detail? Like you flicked through some of them there. I mean, like I find it difficult to visualise, you know, what public transport you're talking about. I mean, are you talking about light rail for Cork? Are you in other words, you know, the DART is there. Are you talking about Metrolink? Are you talking about not going ahead with the M20? In other words, it's easy to say, oh, we'll have a 2-to-1 ratio of public transport there. But, like, what does it actually mean? And the same with the National Harbour. We need to reduce the National Harbour. So the reality is that dairy farmers are increasing their output because there's no quotas.
Well, you're right. I mean, these are the details that need to, you know, go into place to allow us to achieve the targets. And we have to judge the government on the extent to which they put the detail, you know, the meat on those bones. Maybe is an unfortunate analogy to use, right? But how they put the meat on those bones. So, you know, what it might mean. Let's say it does mean a light rail for Cork. Maybe that's part of the strategy. Well, that means this government has got to go some way towards doing that, so that a future government can't just dig up those tracks. So it means that, you know, putting in safe cycling infrastructure into our cities. Well, the next government isn't going to dig up cycle lanes, right? The next government isn't going to take out offshore wind turbines. So what we've got to do now is rapidly put in place the regulations that allow us to put more wind turbines offshore, right? So these are the kind of things that this government needs to do, and they won't see a return on this, or at least we won't see our emissions significantly decline in the next 5 years because of this. What we will see is we'll see emissions decline in 7, 8, 9 and in the future because of what we do in these first 5 years. I think public transport has got to be things like, you know, city buses is certainly one, increasing frequency of city buses, making buses more attractive as a way to get around, and also, of course, making it more difficult to drive around so that people will go onto those buses, right? So you've got to make driving more costly through the carbon tax, but also through inconvenience, right, through taking away parking spaces or taxing parking spaces through benefit in kind. So to make it unattractive to drive around our cities. Some people can't cycle, right? Some people can't walk to work because of where they live. But some people can and choose not to because they're not internalizing the cost on society or the cost on the environment of their decision to drive. So if we internalize that cost on them through inconvenience, through financial cost, then we're going to get the change in behavior that might see us reduce our emissions and also make our cities more livable and nicer places to be in 10 years and in 20 years and in the future.
All right, my thanks for that analysis.
The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk
with Nissan. Together, let's play our part by staying apart. Nissan, innovation that excites.